The question was asked. Two people got married, and one is Chozer B'Tshuva, and his wife is a Giyoret. So her parents are not Jewish. So they decided that they're going to visit her parents for the last days of Pesach. Now, her parents don't know anything about Pesach. So the first thing is, if they would have asked me first, I would have said, don't go there for Pesach. Go there for Sukkot, go there for Shabbos, go there on a weekday, go any other time. Pesach is the hardest holiday to be away from home and to be by people who are not observant. It doesn't matter Jewish or not Jewish. Just being in someone's house where they have chametz all over, to my mind, is almost impossible to keep kosher. Saying, everywhere you're going to go, there's going to be crumbs, there's going to be bread, there's going to... What are you going to do? Tell them to change their whole life around? They don't know what you're talking about.
It's not yours, it's a problem?
It's not my problem that they have chametz, but it's my problem to sit at a table where chametz is being served. I can't eat at that table. I can't eat on the same table as someone else eating chametz on Pesach. Doesn't matter if it's a coworker. Doesn't matter if it's a parent, doesn't matter if it's a friend. I can't eat at that table. So what are you going to do? Come to the table and say, sorry guys, I'm eating on my lap? I'm saying it's really problematic, so don't put yourself in that scenario. I'm saying it's much easier, any other holiday, or Shabbos is much easier. Pesach, you're driving yourself up a creek, and you don't want to hurt people's feelings, so it's not the holiday to be by people who are non-observant. That's just not the holiday. So they asked a bunch of interesting questions, which I felt elucidate many important points. So one question they asked is, he's Ashkenazi, but when they go to her parents' house, can they adopt her parents' custom and eat rice? So that's not called her parents' custom. Her parents are not Jewish. They don't have a custom. She's a Giyoret, so he cannot eat rice in their house. She can't eat rice in their house. She's a Giyoret. She takes on his custom. They're Ashkenazi. They don't eat rice. The next question they asked was, she has a specific diet, and she has specific grains that she eats. So now the question was, she would like to take the different cereals and crackers that she can eat when they go to visit her parents. So we are not allowed to own chametz on Pesach, so we cannot take that anywhere with us. It cannot be in our possession. So they said, fine, we'll sell it. We'll sell it to a non-Jew before Pesach, and then we'll have it with us. And when Pesach's over, so then we'll eat it. So it doesn't work that way. The chametz that you sell, if you sell chametz to a non-Jew, you close it up in a closet, and you don't touch it. It's muktzah. You can't touch it on Yom Tov. It's not mine. I just sold it to the non-Jew for Pesach. I can't take it in my handbag and say, I'll eat it after Pesach when I'm by my parents. It doesn't work that way. It's not mine. If I could ship it to my parents, lock it up in their closet, and then in the sale I'll write that I'm selling the chametz in my house and the chametz in my parents' house, fine, that's one thing. But to start handling chametz on Pesach, we don't do that. You go to a baseball game, and they're passing out hot dogs in the bun. And you know how they pass it. One guy passes to the next, to the next, to the next. You're not allowed to pass it. You take a step back and say, I'm sorry, it's Passover. Jews are not allowed to handle bread on Passover. Let the other guys pass it. You don't pass it. You're not supposed to handle chametz. You take a flight on Pesach, and they're passing the bagels, or they're passing the roasted nuts, or they're passing the pretzels out on the flight. So you're not going to take it and hand it to the guy next. You're going to lean back and say, I'm sorry, I can't on Passover. We don't touch pretzels. I can't. I'm sorry. No. Even though it's in a bag. The idea behind it is you're taking a certain legal responsibility for those pretzels. If they tell you, pass those pretzels to Mr. Lewis, please. And you take those pretzels and say, thanks. Mr. Lewis can say, those are mine. And you would have to pass it to him. That means you're taking a certain legal responsibility for his pretzels. Technically, if you took those pretzels and did this, mashed them, he could sue you for that half a dollar that those pretzels are worth. Technically, he won't want to do it and they won't want to do it. But when it's a hot dog that you're passing down, if you were to drop it, he might tell you, buddy, pay. You just dropped my hot dog. Right? So when you pass something, you're taking a legal responsibility for that. You are now his messenger. You're legally responsible for his chametz. You're not allowed to be legally responsible for chametz on Pesach. I'm not allowed to take it into my legal responsibility on Pesach, even though it's not mine. So when we sell chametz, we close it up in a place that we won't see it, we label it, and we don't handle it on Pesach. What happens if you sell your medicine chest, and suddenly in the middle of Pesach, you suddenly need your thermometer? So then we say, the non-Jew you sold it to, you didn't sell him the thermometer, you did sell him everything around it. He's probably a decent guy, and he wouldn't mind if you rummage around the stuff to get your thermometer. But that's only if you need to. You don't go rummaging around this stuff unnecessarily. On the contrary, you lock it up, and you don't touch it on Pesach. So that's why they wouldn't be able to take the grains to her parents' house, the cereals and whatever it is, because you're not allowed to handle the chametz once you sold it over Pesach. We don't deal with it at all. Next question. You're going to visit your parents in Chutz Laaretz over Pesach. In Chutz Laaretz, they have this wonderful custom that they keep 2 days, Yom Tov, Pesach Sheni. So some of the people are going to visit their parents who are not Jewish people in the conversion program, people who converted. Again, my recommendation is don't do it over Pesach. But if you're doing it, so then comes the question, do I have to keep the second day of Yom Tov? So our rule is, when you're in a Jewish neighborhood, you have to keep the second day externally. You cannot desecrate it. You cannot go around doing things as though it were a weekday overtly. So when I was by my parents, Pesach, I guess it was a decade ago, that's what it sounds like. Wow. So they made a second Seder. So I can't make a second Seder, right? I can't make the blessings. I don't have a second holiday. I live in Israel. I have a family here. So all my kids were very little then. So I don't think it was 10 years ago. It must have been less. But we went up for the second Seder. And we made believe we were doing everything like them. I can't make Kiddush with them. I don't have Kiddush the second night. I have Avdalah. So I went down with my wife and we quietly made Avdalah. And then I went back upstairs and I sat down for the Seder. And the Seder begins and they're all making Kiddush. And I'm singing along with them. But every time it comes to Hashem's name, I make believe I'm singing it and I don't say it. So they're singing Kiddush. Baruch atah. And then one of my young cousins noticed. So he goes to everyone. Look. And they're all watching to see if I'm going to say Hashem's name in the blessings. So he ruined it for me. But I faked it the whole Seder through. I sat with them as though I was doing a Seder. I couldn't make the blessings on Maror and on Matzah like they made. I could make a Motzi on the Matzah. I couldn't make the blessings that are unique to the Seder. I can make a Bar Priya Guffin on the first cup. I couldn't make a Bar Priya Guffin on the second cup. I had a Sephardi style Seder in that sense. But I faked it. I didn't say, guys, I'm going to go watch a movie. You guys enjoy. I'm on my second day. I'm on Chol HaMoed already. We don't do things that are overt, that are weekday. On the overt level, we keep the second day Yom Tov. Behind the scenes, downstairs, on the eighth day of Pesach. So you're not going to eat chametz, but you should put on tefillin. Your prayer is going to be a weekday prayer. Don't go to shul and get an aliyah. Meaning they're reading in the Torah on the eighth day. You don't have Torah reading. For you, it's a weekday. So don't get an aliyah. They might want to give you maftir. Don't get maftir. You can't make the blessings of the haftarah. So stay behind the scenes. And what happens if a person's going, for whatever reason, they're going to be in their non-Jewish parents' house, and there are no Jews around? They're in no man's land. They're going to go out, like one guy went to, where was it? Utah. Salt Lake City, Utah.
Mormons.
He told me he was the only Jew for miles and miles and miles. And he was by his parents. So he didn't have to keep a second day Yom Tov. The whole idea of keeping that second day Yom Tov is, I'm in a location where Jews keep the second day Yom Tov, so at least overtly, I won't do things that desecrate it. But he was out where there was no Jewish community. There were no Jews who were going to see him. He was all alone. So he technically could do what he wants. He could eat chametz on the eighth day. He could drive a car. There's no Jews there. He doesn't get the Jewish community's customs because there is no Jewish community there. So that's a leniency. But again, you shouldn't be there. You don't belong there. Anyways, it's a pretty dismal thing to go to Chutz Laaretz for Pesach. You know, Pesach, we're celebrating leaving Chutz Laaretz. So to be in Chutz Laaretz on Pesach. Okay, but there are circumstances in life. That's a different question. Okay.